We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Sports in the City. I'm your host, LaRisha Harris. And like always, I'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the Atlanta sports community. Special guest in the studio with me this morning. I am honored to be sitting across from Nikki Collin and Brittany Sykes, both with the Atlanta Dream. Of course, Coach Nikki is the head coach and Sykes is just a versatile player for the Atlanta Dream. Thank you, ladies, for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, man. So we are getting ready for 2019 season. So, of course, I had to bring you in so we could recap everything that happened in 2018 because it really was a phenomenal year. I enjoyed every bit of it. First, let's talk to you, Sykes. We know that you were injured, and now you're currently in that whole recovery process. What has it been like this summer for you, especially not going overseas?
Yeah.
After your first season overseas last year, what has that recovery process been like for you?
It's been great. You know, a lot of tools that I've learned thus far, definitely going through surgery. Now, probably, I think I'm in month four. So it's been pretty cool to get back in the gym. I've been with Coach and Renee Montgomery a lot, just getting some shots up, working on the consistency of shooting. And it's been fun. It's definitely been trying, but I will say it's been fun.
So you tweaked your ankle late in the season. Yep. When it happened initially, like, what was going through your mind? What was that process like?
Well, it kind of sucked because it came from blocking a shot. You know?
But so, you had a lot of blocks too last season.
Thank you. Thank you. But I mean, it sucked, honestly, to, you know, do it so early. It happened June 8th, and right. We were in Vegas, and then it came down to, you know, can I play on it? Can I not? And then you go through the whole season, and then at the end of the season, it kind of happened pretty fast how the whole surgery thing came about. And I get surgery, and then I realize, like, oh, man, you know, I can't go overseas. And for a while, it was pretty rough to wrap my head around the fact that, you know, like, hey, you played on this the whole season. And then I took the silver lining in it, and, you know, I was blessed enough to play the whole season on an injured foot. And I almost forgot that I did because I went the whole season, you know, without getting the surgery. But you know, it's lessons learned in it. So, I mean, taking from it, I'm just happy I got it done and I get to rest my body. So that's like the bigger picture. I've been going like 7 years straight. So to be 24 and get a little break, it's been a blessing and it's honestly what I needed. So, you know, God just tapped my shoulder and was like, sit down.
Hey, look at that.
So, you know, I needed it. So I'm grateful to have it.
He gets your attention when he needs it.
For sure.
So now that you've been recovering, you're in that process, your body, do you feel like you're almost 100% or back to 100% now?
Yeah, for sure. I say my foot and my ankle, it's almost there. You know, I just got to get that last bit of power. Mm-hmm. And that'll come with the weeks that I have left before, you know, I attempt to go over if Coach lets me. But you know, other than that, my body feels great. You know, I'm getting some rest. I get to see my family, and honestly, I think that's what my body, my mind, you know, needed, to just see family. I got to go home for Christmas and New Year's.
Hey.
And I haven't had that since, you know, I left for college. So, you know, to get that and to see my grandma and to, you know, spend more time with Coach and, you know, just work out with each other and just learn each other. We only had 1 year together, and it was literally going into the season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see her outside of basketball and to just, like, go for lunch and, you know, just talk and you know, share each other's goals, it's been really good, and I think it'll really help for the season.
Yeah, I think to piggyback that, I think, you know, Brittany's done such a good job of taking her rehab seriously, really putting in the time every day to do what she needs to do to get back. I'll never stop her from going overseas if both the doctor and I think she's ready to go. I mean, I think that's, I can't really stop her if I wanted to. I can only give her good advice. And so I think it's been a great opportunity to get in the gym. It's one of the things WNBA players don't usually get is kind of that, how do we build off of last season and move towards the things that we need to get better at next season, because they just go from one WNBA season to an overseas season. So I think this has been good for her growth, you know, individually, as well as, you know, our expectations for her, and that, you know, we don't know how quickly Angel's going to recover. And so Brittany, just like her role grew very quickly at the end of the season, as important as she was throughout the season, at the end, you know, losing Angel, like, she knows now going into the season that she's got to be ready, you know, to take that load.
Before you had your injury in June, you were very versatile. You came off the bench, I think, about 22 times out of the 29 games that you were able to play. Mm. How did you make that adjustment, like, from the 2017 season to 2018? You had a lot of changes that you had to really, like, deal with. What was the biggest adjustment for you?
I think, honestly, going into it, you know, I just always have the mindset to just, you know, going into training camp, I knew that Angel would be back. I knew that she would most likely be a potential starter. And, you know, to go from 2017 and, you know, playing a whole bunch of minutes, scoring a whole bunch of points, to coming off the bench and being sixth, seventh man, I won't lie, it was a bit of an adjustment, especially mentally more than physically. I knew when I touched that floor, I did my job regardless of if I started or if I came off the bench. But mentally, I had to just prepare myself going from overseas into the season, and just knowing that, you know, whatever happens, happens. And then to, you know, come off the bench and, you know, minutes fluctuated. It was never a problem for me. I just think more so the consistency of me being ready all the time. It was, and, you know, and coach is a new coach. So now we're learning each other and we're learning, you know, how can I coach Brittany? And then it's like, okay, well, how can I, you know, talk to coach, or, you know, learning each other. And you know, this is in the middle of a season. So it's a lot to going on. And then Angel goes down, and then it's, you know, back to, you know, starting and coming in and even a bigger load, because Angel carries a lot of weight for us. And not just in scoring, but just having that presence of, you know, a vet on the floor and carrying us through those tough stretches. It was a lot. But, you know, we took it. We got to the playoffs, and, you know, we did the best we could. But, I mean, looking back on it, honestly, you know, it just – it showed that, you know, I had to take my job way more serious than I did. And that's just pure transparency and honesty. You know, like, I thought, you know, I can coast and I have to put up a lot of shots and, you know, just practice was enough. You know, I had, like, I didn't want to have a sophomore slump. I feel like I kind of did. But, you know, it taught me just to, you know, be a pro and what it means to be a pro. So, you know, and coach got in my ear a couple times. We had a couple talks, so there's that.
If you're just joining us, Nikki Collin in the studio, also Brittany Sykes, a.k.a. Slim. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're chatting about, you know, the 2018 season, getting ready for 2019 season. Brittany has been recovering from her injury that she had in June. What would you say has been one of the major focuses for you when it comes down to your game specifically during this offseason for you?
Honestly, what we're working on now, just consistency in shooting, you know, just, you know, in college when I got hurt and I tore my second ACL, that's when I really, really locked in on just, you know, being able to shoot the three so I can make it to the league. Mm-hmm. I knew I had everything else, but it was just the question of, you know, okay, can she stay healthy and can she shoot a three? And, to me, I always was told, you know, you can't be a liability on the floor. You know, you want to make sure you have all the intangibles to where they can't take you off the floor. And that was one of the things that made me a liability. Could I shoot the three? And once I learned how to shoot the three, now it's, can she shoot it consistently? So, you know, I've been a streaky shooter. I was, you know, one last year. I could hit the three, but could I hit it, you know, on a consistent basis? And now, you know, me and coach have just been working on, you know, consistency in my footwork and just making sure, you know, all the little things in the mechanics of just shooting, just to keep that shot consistent. You know, lifting and, you know, ball handling and all that comes with it. But definitely, I would say consistency in shooting is like the main key for me this season.
So, Coach, I want to take a step back and actually recap the 2018 season. Big season for the Atlanta Dream. For real, for real. Franchise record, 23 wins, 11-win improvement from 2017. You finished first in the Eastern Conference, second overall. Made it to the semifinals. Tough in the semifinals. I watch all five games.
And
I mean, so much happened in your first season on the sidelines for the Atlanta Dream. If you could, I guess, think about a way to describe it, maybe in like four or five words.
Oh, gosh.
Good luck.
Could you?
Yeah. I mean, no,
could you
I don't
do
think
that?
You can do it in four or five words. But I think for me, you know, the beauty of last season was, you know, our stick-to-itiveness, you know, that it was a team that knew it had, you know, I felt really lucky when I took the job, because if there was one message or thread that as I would talk to the players, they really all believed they underachieved, that it wasn't that they weren't good enough to win in 2017. And so they were all really motivated and very selfless that way. I felt like from the beginning, you know, they really bought into doing things a different way and learning a new way and believing in it. And, you know, I think in those early stretches where we really were learning one another and trying to figure out how to score and move the ball and do things differently, you know, if there's one thing I've said consistently that I'm proud of is we never lost more than two games in a row. And in a shortened season with games coming, you know, one after the other, it's very easy in this league to get on losing streaks and get stuck in one. And so our ability early on to never lose two in a row and kind of keep pressing forward, it allowed us, when we finally figured it out, to go on that eight-game win streak and to move from, you know, eighth, ninth in the league all the way up, you know, to second, to where we were able to finish out well. So, you know, I think it was, you always talk as a coach about it being a process, and you think that way. But I think our team really bought into that and kind of allowed it to unfold how it needed to organically.
There were some additions that were made early on at the beginning of 2018 and within the season. You brought on Renee Montgomery, had Jessica Breland, and also Alex Bentley added to the roster. They had a huge impact to the team as well. How would you say those additions were beneficial for you guys? We know that Montgomery, you know, had that franchise record for three-pointers, and then Breland with her all-defensive second-team honors, and then, of course, Alex Bentley and what she was able to contribute. Those additions added to you guys, what, I mean, huge impact did that have?
Well, I think it allowed us, I mean, even, you know, I can even point to before we played Minnesota the very first time, and we were talking about matchups, and I remember sitting with Tiffany Hayes in the locker room and saying, you know, do you want to be all defense in this league? And her saying, yeah, I'd love to be all defense. And, you know, just kind of sometimes when you speak something into existence, then all of a sudden you really believe it. And I said, well, we're going to try to make that happen, because we were talking about the matchup that she would have that day with Maya Moore and how she felt about that. And so I think, you know, bringing a veteran presence in Renee, who was a good locker room addition, and I think from training camp, Renee plays the game with a true sense of joy. She's still like a little kid, even though she was the oldest player on our team. And so because of that, you know, I think that helped training camp. There was a certainly I wasn't here the year before, but, you know, I just felt, you know, how much she enjoyed playing the game. And I think her teammates fed off of that, and she understands the game. So I think she gave us, obviously, veteran leadership, three-point shooting. Breland's just a quiet, very quiet presence who goes about her job. And, you know, when she started making shots, she was everything that I thought she would be. She struggled to shoot it early, but she gave us defensively a stopper, a shot blocker, someone who could help, someone who could switch, someone, you know, and she just consistently did her job and didn't need to be the center of attention. So when you take those two different players that we added, and then you get Tiffany to really buy into like wanting to be great defensively, you know, that's what set the tone for us, you know, was really the defensive end of the floor early in the season. Elizabeth Williams, obviously a great defender as well. And so, you know, we kind of built off of that defensively. And then Alex just brought a different energy, a swag, a, you know, Alex has never met a shot she doesn't think she can make, a moment that's ever too big for her. And so, you know, that's what she brought. And she really bought in. She certainly had played in Atlanta before, was excited for the opportunity, meshed well, you know, with Brittany and Tiffany and this team, and was happy to be here and played like it, you know, truly played her role and helped us win some games, and also gave us, you know, really a ball hawk when she wants to guard people on the ball. So our defense even ramped up, you know, with her addition.
So you guys started the season somewhat slow. Then you just took off, went all the way to the finals, well, the semifinals, to game five. In that game five, when you were in the midst of the action, and both of you could talk about this because, I mean, you were right there. Mm-hmm. You were in the midst of it. What was that feeling like those emotions? Because, I mean, we can only see what we see from the sideline from watching the game, but we don't really understand it like you guys do being in the midst of it. What was that like?
I'm going to let Brittany answer that first.
I mean, it was a mix of emotions. You know, you go in and it's, you know, the determining game. You don't have that underlying feeling of, okay, if you do mess up, there's another game that you can make up for it. This is it. Like, this is the end all to if you're going to go to the finals or, you know, if you're going to pack up and start over again, you know, that next summer. But it was great. I mean, we all went into that game fully confident that we would win that game and that we were going to do and put all of our energy into winning it. And, you know, we came out on the opposite end. But at the same time, during that game, it was just great. I mean, the Atlanta fans came out to every single home game we had. And to go back home and have home court advantage for game five was even more of a plus. You know, and it was just, I mean, I still, I don't know. I couldn't make it through watching game five still. Like, it still hurts, you know. But that's just the competitor in me. And I've asked my teammates, too, have they watched it. And half of them said they couldn't make it through it because – honestly, I could sit right here and tell you each play that has happened because it's ingrained in us. But, you know, we've learned from it. So, I mean, but that game five, it was great. It was great. I don't have any remorse from that game. It was all learning lessons. But if I had to sum it up, I had to say it was just the atmosphere was just, it was electrifying. Like every shot felt like the game winner, the way the crowd went crazy. So it was fun. I'm ready to get back.
Coaches probably always look at things differently. You know, you prepare like it's any other game. I think, you know, I go into every game thinking we're going to win, and so I certainly thought we were going to win that game. I'll agree with her. I really thought that the crowd was incredible that day. Maybe not huge, huge in numbers, but in passion they were. I've probably, I don't remember a time where I've heard a pro crowd chant, "You suck," to the ref.
Yes.
Quite as long or as loud. And so it just showed how passionate they were in that moment, you know, because I think there was a lot of questions in that fourth quarter, how things unfolded, you know. And, you know, Renee fouling out in a late stretch on a play that, you know, was just everything was going against us during that stretch. But I was proud of our team because we kept fighting and, you know, really gave ourselves even a chance. Now, as a coach, I go back and I watch that, and all I can say is, you know, we're going to be better the next time we're in that situation. You know, when we know, okay, we're down three, there's 8 seconds to go. I mean, if there's another thing I'm proud of, we were really, really solid all year in late game situations. We executed. We won a lot of close games. So it wasn't like it was a weakness of ours, but in that big moment, having that play that we've got five people, regardless of who's in the game at the time, know this is what we're running. Here's how we're getting there, you know, so that we get a better shot in those situations when we put ourselves back in that situation again. You know, I joked before that series started that, you know, Mike Tebow has more like playoff wins than, you know, any coach in WNBA history, and I was 0-0, you know, going into game one. So, you know, my team was probably at a slight disadvantage for that reason. But, you know, now I'm 2-3 and we'll try to get over the hump, you know, in year two.
So is that on a part of your 2019 resolutions or goals?
Absolutely.
To get back there and have that outcome to be totally different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, now we know what it's like to be there. And I think, you know, we certainly had a lot of players that had played very little in playoff situations. And they had a coach who'd never coached in the playoffs. And so I think we'd all be more confident walking in. Now, what we did in the regular season to put ourselves in a situation where we weren't in one of those first two rounds, one and done type situations, I mean, that I'm incredibly proud of. I felt like our last game at Vegas in the regular season, where if we won it, we secured, you know, the double bye. That was like a playoff game for us. You know, it was a playoff intensity, probably from me and from our team in terms of knowing what that meant, because there's a big difference between a five-game series and a one-game, one-and-done scenario.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you're just joining us, Nikki Collin in the studio, Brittany Sykes, we're talking everything related to the Atlanta Dream, taking a look back at the 2018 season where they had a franchise record of 23 wins, now getting ready for 2019. Mm-hmm. I mean, before you know it, April will be here, the draft will take place, and then right after that, it's showtime. Mm-hmm. It's on the roll. So, I mean, looking ahead, what are you most excited about when it comes to this 2019 season?
For me, it's that we have a base now, you know, that we're going to come back with a group of players who understand what we do and why we do it. Not, and the why is important, you know. And I think on top of that, while I think they believed in each other, I think they had to believe in me. And that was a big part of going into training camp, was I'd built relationships with them in the off season. But they'd never seen me in between the lines and what my expectations were. Now they know. They know what to expect. They know what it takes to be good. And I'd like to believe that we can press, you know, the accelerator down so much faster this preseason and with training camp, because there's a base. We know where we're starting. So even though you always, as a coach, you're always going to go back and talk fundamentals and put your base in, you know, you can move quicker through it, you know, and get to maybe a few more things. Because even in those early games, you know, when I would watch a Connecticut play in their early games, I'm like, dang, they've got their whole playbook in. You know, we've got seven things in right now, you know. And so, but once everybody kind of gets back to, okay, you know, yeah, I've been over in Poland and we called that something different. But like once the terminology starts coming back, mm-hmm. I think we'll really be able to kind of do more, be more, add more things. And so, you know, I mean, I just had 3 days with my staff where we began talking about what do we add, what more do we want to put in the playbook, when do we want to put it in, you know, so that it's been kind of a fun little retreat with my staff in terms of, you know, getting back to really thinking about the basketball side of things.
So with what you guys have accomplished, what you accomplished in 2018, I feel like there is going to be this higher expectation from, of course, the media, the fans, and I'm pretty sure yourselves as well. From your perspective, do you think wholeheartedly you guys can continue this momentum that you started?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the goal is always to, you know, get to the championship and win a ring. I mean, there's other reasons why we play, but, you know, that's one of the top reasons, you know. And I mean, it was a joke, but not a joke. I pulled Coach over in the middle of the season. I think we were like 8-8 at the time. And I'm like, Coach, like, we're going to win you Coach of the Year. You know,
she got it,
yeah. So, you know, and it, I mean, it's all about manifesting things. And, you know, as soon as the season ended, I know for me, I thought, like, ooh, man, we set the bar really high, you know. And it's like, you know, it's at this point, you know, we are going to go there. I fully believe, you know, like Coach said, we have a base. So now we're not behind, you know, mm-hmm. as some would see it. We have that base, and, you know, we have the team camaraderie to do it. And, you know, we have a good mix of vets and, you know, second and third year players on our team. So we're pretty much in the mix of everything and everybody, and we know everybody in this league. So, you know, it should be fun. You know, it's not going to be stressful. We would add that pressure to ourselves if we made it a stressful season. We literally had fun the whole season. That's one of the things I miss right now, is just going to practice every day and seeing these girls and looking at them as my sisters and just, you know, joking and laughing and being loose. We're all ourselves, and we get Coach to come out of her shell, and everybody, all the coaches have their own little quirky things they do. So, you know, if we keep that, everything that we're supposed to do will happen. And that's the way I look at it. You know, of course the city's going to put a lot of pressure on us, but we have fun doing what we do, so it's not going to be any pressure. As long as we prepare, there shouldn't be any pressure.
Is there a message or something that you would say to people who, despite what you did in 2018, still have doubts, still don't know if you guys can come back and keep that ball rolling the way you did in 2018, again, regardless of making it to the semifinals, regardless of your 23-win season? What message would you say to these people, to these doubters?
I don't know. Keep doubting so you can keep proving them wrong. You know, you know, it's something I've learned since I was little. You know, if somebody's not hating or somebody's not doubting you, then you're not doing something right. So, you know, there's going to be disbelievers, but honestly, that's all like outside. Long as we believe in ourselves and we keep our home base solid and we stay together, you know, that's all that matters to us. You know, we hear the doubters. We see it all on Instagram and Twitter and people saying whatever they want to say. it happens. You know, some people are bored. so you know, they do their job, we do ours. And I mean, that's how I see it crumbling down to it.
Still in the studio with me, we have head coach of the Atlanta Dream, Nikki Collin, and we have a player from the Dream as well, Brittany Sykes, a.k.a. Slim. And we are just talking everything related to this WNBA team, reflecting on the 2018 season while also looking ahead at the 2019 season. So still in reflection mode now, thinking of the 2018 season. If you had to pinpoint one of your favorite moments from the 2018 season, if you can, what would it be?
You go first.
I think the win in Vegas, you know, for me, it was the cherry on top. You know, it was a big game that, you know, secured us that second seed. And I thought we approached it in a really professional way. I thought, you know, from a game plan, how they played, you know, and on top of that, I mean, to be in Vegas and to get to celebrate that with each other after the game, with knowing we had a week till we played again, mm-hmm. we had a good time in Vegas as well. So, you know, it was kind of that combination of earning the right to, like, enjoy Vegas for a mm-hmm. night.
Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, indeed. We're not going to talk about what happened. No. We're just saying we had
indeed,
a good time.
We had fun. I'd say it's split 50-50 between when we were going on that 8-0 win streak, and mm-hmm. we beat L.A. at L.A. to finish off going into All-Star break, and then beating Minnesota at Minnesota. Mm. I would say those are, you know, two huge wins. One, because it is so hard to win on the road. And then those two type of arenas and those two type of caliber teams, we're talking, you know, they've been into the finals the last, what, three, four, five times? Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody, when they think of, you know, the WNBA, the first two teams they probably will mention are LA Sparks and Minnesota Lynx. So, you know, to beat Minnesota at Minnesota and the way we...
Like we did.
Yeah, it was
like a drum there.
Yeah. And, you know, and we won by a buzzer beater in the first game at home, and then we, you know, we lose tip, and I'm still hurt, and we're, you know, we're fighting, and we keep fighting, and, you know, we lose to them at Minnesota. Then we go back, and it's like, okay, coach has a thing where we take one game at a time, so it's a series. And so we, you know, we're 1-1, and she has, like, these quotes on the board, and it helps me because 33 games is a lot to think about. So, so you know, when you look at the board and you go, okay, this is the next game, we're 1-1, let's win this one, let's make it 2-1. I'm like, okay, I can do this, you know. Mentally, it's like, yeah. it helps to visualize and see, like, okay, this is just game three, let's win the series. So now your motivation and your mind is focused on 2-1, not 33-0.
Yeah.
So to beat them at home and the way we did, and then to beat, you know, L.A., and there, a lot of people were doubting us, you know, to finish this win streak and then play L.A. on the road in L.A., like, mm-hmm. period, at the Staples Center. It was huge, and I really, really loved it.
I think my favorite moment, which actually, it's a couple of them, but I'll pinpoint this specific one. It's not anything based on the regular season games, but it was Renee Montgomery and her tribute to Tiffany when she wore her jersey
yeah.
in a three-point contest.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one because I really was shocked and low-key upset that she didn't get in, but I thought that was really good. And it showed to me the connection that you guys built, because I remember prior to the 2018 season when you came on and spoke with me then, you talked about building that chemistry, building that connection. And it showed. Mm-hmm. And it showed from that moment, from her doing that. And also, just like you said, when you guys played, you had fun mm-hmm. on the court. So that was my favorite moment from 2018 season. And if you're just joining us, we got Nikki Collin, Brittany Sykes, a.k.a. Slim, in the studio with us, talking everything related to the 2018-2019 season coming up. April will be here. The ball will get rolling really soon. So before I let you guys go, one last thing, if you had to give a message to fans, you guys are switching back over, going to the newly renovated State Farm Arena. Back over there after playing your last season at McCamish Pavilion, what message would you give to the fans to get them to come to watch the games and get ready for the 2019 season?
Well, I guess my message would be, if you want to see some exciting, you know, high-flying, fun girls just, you know, out there just having fun and just, you know, playing the game that they love, and then to watch the game that you love and see that the people that you're watching, you know, enjoy it. And, you know, you should come out to our games and, you know, support, even if it's from a TV, tuning in, you know, just coming there to just watch, you know, coach her best and watch us play our best and give our all. You know, they won't be disappointed. I know that for sure. Coach definitely won't let it happen. So that'll be my message.
We need them in.
We need them in the seats. We need them in the stands.
We need them in the stands.
They can watch road games, right, from the comfort of their couch. You know, I think my message is consistent. You know, this league is so good. You know, think about the NBA, and they have, you know, over 30 teams. We've got 12 teams, 144 of the best players in the world competing on a night-by-night basis. And, you know, we play good basketball. And, you know, so I think you'd see high-quality basketball. You know, if you haven't been to the new State Farm Arena, it's a, you know, it's an affordable ticket. If you come out for Top Golf or something else to get your hair cut at the barbershop, I don't care. I think once you see what our players do on the court, you'll come back not for Top Golf, but for the Atlanta Dream Team. So really excited to be back there. I think, you know, from ease of MARTA being there to parking and other things, you know, State Farm, just first class all the way around. So, you know, I've been over there, I think now 6 Hawks games, and can't wait to walk the sidelines in there this summer.
Nikki Collin, Brittany Sykes, thank you ladies so much for joining me to talk all about the Atlanta Dream, reflecting on the 2018 season and looking forward to the 2019 season. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.